So welcome to the Behavioral Blueprint Podcast, where we will delve into the depths of the human psyche and explore the intricacies of our existence. I'm your host, Solana, and today's episode is going to be a deep dive into the topic of our existential crisis in mental health, finding meaning in our uncertainty through any type of issues that we're dealing with. So, what does it mean to grapple with the feelings of meaninglessness in a seemingly chaotic world, and how can you even venture out with understanding your self-identity through any type of issue like this? My answer to that is going to be looking behind closed doors and looking behind the things that you are honestly afraid of when it comes down to where you are. Because the biggest thing, and even how I even labeled and branded this podcast, was about your personal fingerprint, your personal identity, and what it means to have those feelings that you deal with, because they have to hold space. And when you really do look at what meaninglessness really means, it shows that you don't understand or you don't have the mental connection to what has any type of gravity or weight in your life. The biggest part I have noticed with meaninglessness in my life when I was younger and also today is seeing how much it has importance over my life and how much I'm able to prioritize the said issue at hand. Because sometimes, yes, we do have those overwhelming things that are bigger priorities, but we also have the other hand too, where it's some things that are meaninglessness, or there are some things that don't have meaning to us that we truly just don't prioritize at all. And then it just pits and it sits there like a little ball of anxiety, and that doesn't help anybody. So I question again the why of where I'm not prioritizing my feelings, because again, you are the most important thing in your life. So why are you not being able to take care of your feelings and also the things that you don't think hold meaning to you? How do we reconcile with our freedom and the constraints of societal norms? As a queer person, I think the answer to this is going to be kind of difficult, because freedom is really based off of somebody else's expression of what it means to them. Freedom is also what it has to do with your form of liberation and your form of expression. And the constraints that, of course, are seen in the societal today, normality, all of that jazz, is usually going to be seen in our governments, in our politics, and also in our law, in our lawmaking, and all of those things that are seen as boxes. Reconcile and how you can grow to have your desire back for the things that you love are going to come at a price, and those prices are going to be the palette of the people that are in those boxes that people don't want to see, you know? And I think that you honestly deserve to be able, you're honestly able to take care of yourself and not give a fuck about what anybody says about you at the end of the day. And if somebody has to say something about you, let me know, because I'll get them for you. Don't let anybody try to constrain and lock you into who you're supposed to be, because how does that make anybody else grow? Like, who you are is a seed for somebody else to grow for who they're supposed to be. And if you're not yourself 100%, then how are you supposed to help the next person and the future person and every other person that you even encounter and that you meet with? Isolation is my next thing that I want to get into. How does isolation play a role with perception of self and others? This is one of my favorite questions that I asked myself when I made my script. How do we look at perceptions of other people, and how much do we do that? As a person who really looks at understanding perceptions and how much it takes importance for other people's perception over me and vice versa, what does that mean to me? For a long time, even when I was a kid, I used to really care so much about what people thought about me. I wanted to be liked, I wanted to be loved, I wanted to be valued and validated, because I felt like I had a lack in that when I was growing up, and I wasn't validated the way that I wanted to be. And I used to really look in the wrong places for these things that were helping me shape into who I was. And it further played a part with how I even looked at myself, because I poured into the people that weren't needing me. And how that shaped my perception of other people is that people will use you and people will take from you. And that's not true at all, because people are actually very giving and people are actually very nurturing and caring. And when I got into therapy, I figured out that I was kind of doing the counter opposite when I was growing up of what it means to have my perception of other people. And I had to flip it back. And it's not just a switch. It really takes time and dedication, and how you even deal with future situations with the playing a part with the perception and self of other people. I do want to get into the role of how isolation plays that too, of perceptions of other people, because I am a hermit. I do hide sometimes when I deal with any type of issue. And isolation is proudly my favorite thing to do when it comes down to issues at hand. And it's not helpful. It's not helpful at all. And whenever I do hide away, there's times where people check up on me and they're like, where are you at? Like, where are you going? Where are you hiding? Because we miss you. We love you. We want you to be here. And I had to look at what that meant for my friends, because they need me and my family too, and what it means to really look into my isolation. And if we plug in perception and isolation together, I usually see that perception of how you look at other people, of course, is never going to be the way that they actually are in their identity of self. And then also how their perception of other people looking towards you is never going to be at face value of who you are and the identity of who you are. So never take it for the way that people expect you to, or even what past generations told you to look into. You don't have to give a fuck about what people tell you or what people say you're supposed to be or how you're supposed to filter yourself or how you're supposed to have any type of anything. You deserve to have whatever you want just because you are a person taking up space. Now for the second part of this first segment, it's going to be triggers and how much triggers play a common experience in our life and how much it means to us when we are triggered and how we react. This is one of my favorite things I do talk about, because I'm a person that does get triggered, and I'm also a person that responds poorly. I am working on it, but I do know that this is an active routine for me to play into every day. Sometimes I win, sometimes I just don't have it in me that day. I'm human. But I do want to ask everyone the question of, what does it mean for you? What does it control when it comes down to distress? How does the form of the triggers make you go into the relationships that you go into? I also do want to say this question as well and answer it as well. How do you understand your triggers and your experiences, and how can they begin to unravel in the tangled threads of the existential crises that we were talking about? For me, and how I understand my triggers is really going to be through looking back at my trauma, because of course those are the things that they come from. After I look at those traumas, I look at how I behave and how much my behavior plays a part with the response of that other person too, because they play a part. You take two to tango. But what kind of gets difficult is that the face of the person that triggers you is not going to be the original face that triggered you in the first place. So how you respond to the person that is the present trigger is going to come from the original trigger. And sometimes it can be very poorly. Sometimes it can be amazing how you respond to your triggers. But I do want to put emphasis on, every person is valid with how they respond. Of course, there's people that aren't. They make tantrums in their own vicinity. But I do not want to put judgment on those people either, because they are going through the process of understanding what it means for their triggers to be triggered. Sometimes it takes that. And I'm not saying that in the sense of somebody has to get traumatized enough to be able to go through something that is life-changing for them. I want to make it clear that this thing or these things that people go through are somebody else's journey in life. So when you go through a set example where somebody loses a loved one and they know that this is something that is unchangeable and it can't be something that's permanent for them, they go into knowing that for the rest of their lives that they have to take care of this trigger for the rest of their lives. If they're a mature person and able to identify those things at hand. But of course, it completely depends. Now that we have finished our first subject, I appreciate your amazing, amazing questions and also your input. I want to thank you for joining me on this segment so far. And remember, amidst the chaos and confusion in your life, there's always going to be an opportunity for self-growth and discovery. Now that we're going to go on to segment 2, we'll examine the psychological impact of existential crises, and we'll discuss how this crisis manifests into psychological symptoms like anxiety, depression, identity confusion, shedding light, and also the profound challenges and individuals face during these periods of uncertainty. Additionally, we'll explore the adaptive and maladaptive coping strategies individuals employ to navigate their existential angst. So first, anxiety is a pervasive feeling and unease of apprehension often accompanies existential crises, such as individuals that grasp with the uncertainties of life and also the fear of unknown. Depression is characterized by feelings, hopelessness, and feelings of despair. It may arise in individuals that struggle to find any type of meaning or meaninglessness and purpose in their existence. Additionally, identity confusion. A sense of uncertainty or disconnection from one's senses of self and can further exacerbate the psychological distresses experienced by existential crises. But amidst these challenges, there are coping mechanisms and individuals that employ to navigate these existential issues. Some may turn to adaptive strategies like seeking support from the loved ones, like I said before, engaging into introspective practices like meditation, journaling, and finding solace in creative expression. Also, forms of therapy can work as well. However, people might even go into resorting into maladaptive coping mechanisms, such as avoidance, substance abuse, and/or self-destructive behaviors in attempt to numb out the pain. By understanding these psychological impacts on existential crises and coping mechanisms with individuals that use and navigate it, we can better understand and support ourselves in finding meaning and the resilience of our life uncertainties. I want to list out a couple of maladaptive behaviors that people use as coping mechanisms. And I want to know if these are any or familiar names that you've used or even have heard before. Avoidance is going to be one of them. Substance abuse, self-harm, isolation, escapism, aka Ray's best song, if you know, you know. Rumination. And then, of course, there are so many more. I actually was just dealing with rumination when it came down to a problem that I really had to like push pause on in my brain. And I gave myself like a form of talking to myself from an adult standpoint to an inner child standpoint. And it helped me further put pause on that feeling. And it was kind of helpful with the progression of how I went on with my day. So rumination did kind of help me with my coping mechanism during that exact existential crisis. But let's talk about the other side of how existential crises and coping mechanisms are not going to be helpful in that case. If I used my rumination tactic and I constantly kept asking myself questions and trying to find out a solution and trying to figure out a cycle, that's going to be a negative form of rumination because I was trying to connect with the feelings of distress and feelings of hopelessness, and make it connect into a form of as if it needs to have an answer for me. That doesn't create anything productive for myself if I put myself through a loop. Now, with adaptive forms of coping mechanisms, these are going to be more of the positive aspects that we usually see with existential crises and forms of how it can help you with coping and everything like that. Seeking social support. That's the main one that I usually see people use. Of course, reaching out to friends, family members, engaging in self-reflection. And actually, mirror work is really important for my spiritual girlies that use that. Finding meaningful activities, like, of course, painting, purpose, fulfillment, volunteering, creative expression, like art, music, producing, anything that's a creative medium for you. This is my favorite one. This is the next one. Cognitive restructuring. Now, it's not easy, but it is going to be something that will be helpful if you use manifestation tips or if you even go into using I am type of statements or I will be or I can be. Those are things that will reframe the anxiety that are in your thoughts and even in your mindsets and how it can help you in your future. Physical exercise is going to be something that is going to drop your stress levels like a freaking tick. I always recommend that. And last but not least, like I was saying, therapy. I love therapy. I am a therapy girly. I will always be a therapy girly. I will find ways that will help me with therapy. I love my girl Karen. I will shout out her in every episode if I have to. But those types of adaptive coping mechanisms that people will use will always be helpful. And if you guys need any more, let me know. Before we dive deeper into our discussion, I want to take a moment to say thank you for tuning in to the Behavioral Blueprint Podcast. If you're enjoying the conversation so far and want to stay updated on future episodes, be sure to hit that subscribe button, follow button, and also that like button on your favorite podcast platform. Subscribing not only ensures that you'll never miss an episode, but it also helps you support the show and allow us to continue bringing in insightful content week after week. Whether you're listening on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or any other platform, your support means the world to us. So go ahead, hit that subscribe button, and join our growing community of listeners who are exploring life's mysteries with us. And if you're feeling extra generous, leave a rating and review, and we will greatly appreciate it. Thank you. Finally, in our last segment, we'll explore the concept of embracing existential resilience. We'll discuss the importance of incorporating existential principles into therapy and self-exploration for personal growth and transformation. Together, we'll explore the avenues for finding purpose, authenticity, and connection in the face of existential uncertainty. Let's start by defining existential principles with the meaning authenticity, freedom, and responsibility. These concepts are central to our exploration of personal growth and transformation. Forms of practices that we can use to really go into understanding what it means for our freedom and responsibility, and also the other meanings, authenticity, freedom, and everything else, is going to be forms of asking yourself, forms of going into journaling, and forms of going into practices that do help with these parts of your identity. Now, the second thing is integration into therapy. Of course, if you can afford it, therapists always help with the principles of your approaches with therapy. This approach is going to always be exploring your values and confronting any type of anxieties that promote any type of personal growth. The third thing is going to always be self-exploration and playing a vital role for your personal growth. Techniques like, of course, like I said earlier, journaling and also meditation can always help with the individual connecting to the values and also fostering deeper understanding and insight for yourself. Finding meaning and aligning to the actions with values and confronting existential questions and individuals can be a greater meaning for understanding purpose in your life. This journey is about self-discovery, so understanding that that is essential for your growth and fulfillment is key. Finding meaning for everything in your life is going to be key. Now, everything doesn't have an answer. That's another thing that we also have to go into. Things are easier to not look into for answers if they just don't make sense. If they're not meant for you to make sense, then don't try to force it to make sense. That's the whole example of what it means. It's just not supposed to make sense for you. Last but not least, we're going to go into the authenticity and the connection for all of the things that are in your life. Living authentically allows you to cultivate meaningful conversations and connections with people and others. By embracing authenticity, we can, of course, foster deeper relationships and a greater sense of fulfillment with ourselves and others. I think that kind of wraps up my whole entire point for this entire episode podcast. If you can, of course, question anything or have any questions for me, of course, let me know through comments, through DMs on the Behavioral Blueprint Podcast Instagram. And thank you so much for joining me on this enlightening journey through our existential crises and our mental health. Remember, through these life's uncertainties, there are going to be opportunities for profound growth for you. And by embracing the existential resilience like we explained in the steps like I explained, we can, of course, navigate the complexities of our existence with courage and your true form of authenticity and what it means for you. Tune in for the next time for more thought-provoking discussions on the Behavioral Blueprint Podcast. Until then, stay curious and keep exploring life's mysteries. Know that you are loved, and I'm always here for you. Thank you.